the Mycenaean period. Architecture was perhaps, we might say, increasingly civic, but it served the civic purposes of these emerging poleis. Public buildings where, for example, legislative deliberations could take place, temples, for example, where the people of the city might worship their gods. Greek colonies. We've talked about the Greek colonies around the Mediterranean world and how important that was. The Greek colonies tended to build architecture that mirrored the architecture of the metropolis that had sent them out in the first place. So, not surprisingly, we find not great palace complexes in Mycenaean fashion, but rather temples and public buildings in the fashion of the dawning polis. Pisistratus, as we saw, built a considerable number of buildings in Athens, or was responsible for having them built, and partly this was to generate pride, to sustain pride in the city of Athens, partly was to put large numbers of people to work, but it does point to this civic context for architecture and building buildings in a city that were going to enter into some kind of a dialogue with the people who lived in that city. Now, during the Persian Wars, I keep referring to the Persian Wars and keep promising that eventually we'll talk about them, but once more we're going to pass right by, except to say that during the Persian Wars, the Persian army entered, sacked, and burned much of Athens. So much of the great civic structure, the great civic fabric that Pisistratus had created, was gone. This, of course, then left a remarkable opportunity for people of the generation of Pericles. The restoration of peace, then, and the revenues that flowed into Athens from the Athenian Empire provided the wherewithal to build these buildings. So there was will, there was opportunity, and there were material resources. Now, there were a large number of buildings built between the 450s and about 420 BC in Athens, a number of very beautiful ones. But the greatest, the most important, I think in many ways the most interesting of these is the Parthenon. So let's talk about the Parthenon a little bit as a way of talking about a Greek temple and a Greek building, and we can learn a little something about the form by discussing the Parthenon, and then move along a little bit to ask ourselves, what does the Parthenon tell us about Athens and about the Athenians? How can we read this building as a contemporary document? Well, the Parthenon is the temple to Athena Parthenos, Athena the maiden, Athena, not surprisingly, the patron deity of Athens. The building is built between about 447 or 446 BC and about 438. So the basic temple itself is built over a period of about 8 or 9 years. Its sculptural programs, more about them in just a couple of minutes, its sculptural programs were completed by about 432. So this great building is put up in less than 2 decades. Now, in case you're interested, we do actually know the names of the architects who were most responsible for designing the building were Ictinus and Callicrates. Now, it's a bit puzzling here because we can't confidently identify other buildings that they built, and yet they were so good, they must have done other work. Their signature must be someplace else. The principal sculptor was Phidias. It was he who did the great golden statue of Athena that was inside the temple itself. That statue disappeared already in antiquity. We have no idea what became of it. But Phidias, the greatest of the sculptors in Athens at that time, was commissioned to make the great sculpture of Athena. Now, in order to understand the Parthenon in particular, let us, in general, talk about the elements of a Greek building. Let's talk about the elements of a temple, the temple structure. Though the temple structure was a form of building that could actually be adapted to a large number of other uses. We're going to see this later when we talk about Romans. The basilica is basically a large rectangular hall, which can be adapted to lots of purposes. So I'm going to be talking about a temple form here, but that doesn't mean that every building like this is and only is a temple. All right. The key elements of a floor plan, let us imagine a Greek temple's floor plan from 2 points of view. Imagine that you are standing on the ground, even with the temple, and looking straight at it, but like Superman, you have X-ray vision, so you can look right through it. You can kind of see how all the elements work. Now, let's hoist you up in the air in a helicopter above it, and you look straight down at it. All right. So what I want you to do is imagine those two views. so that in a certain sense what we have are horizontal and vertical dimensions. And we're going to try to understand how these horizontal and vertical dimensions operate in tandem with one another. Now, we can refer to the main